Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I have on the line with me this evening, Sheila G. You on the line with me?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much. And Dr. G, you on the line as well?
Yes, we are.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line. We're going to get into the Word. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. G, we are, again, studying in the book of Matthew, and on last week we or in the Holy Week or the Lenten season of a period of time where Jesus was being betrayed and put on trial and beaten and taken through all of the unpleasant things that went along with him paying the price for mankind. And I believe all of us had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday.
But
it's good to go back and dig in deeper to see what events led up to the resurrection. Because without the death and the burial, there would be no resurrection. So it's important for us to understand what was going on. And we had left off in this 26th chapter where Peter and the disciples were denying to Jesus that were saying that if anybody else betrayed them, nobody will betray him. And if we look at Matthew 26, verse 34, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you," I read that in the King James first, so Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." if I read it in the NIV, it says, "Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he goes on to verse 35, it says, "But Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." And so that's where we left off with Jesus telling them that everyone else was going to fall away, that everyone was going to betray him, that he was going to be left alone, and even the most ardent supporter, Peter, would deny him three times, and all the other disciples would do the same thing. And so that's the context of where we were last week. And when we look at this, these are the things that will drive you on your knees to pray. And, you know, you look at Jesus, and there was something that he did, and he taught his disciples how to pray, is that he realized that in his flesh, Sheila G., that there was a continual need for prayer because you're having to deal with people. And I don't know about you, but I think I got a 54th birthday coming up. But I've learned as I get older that dealing with people will put a strain on your flesh.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that again. Dealing with people will put a strain on your flesh because they're just people. It's like everybody has issues. Everybody has attitudes. Everybody has personalities. Uh-huh. And that's not to say that anybody has more or less than others, but just the fact of everyday life, dealing with people and their hang-ups and their drama and their situations and circumstances, in the flesh, Jesus found a way to be able to continue to do his will of the Father by going to his knees in prayer. And that's such an important example to us because you don't know where people come from. Peter was supposed to be this way. Judas was supposed to be another way.
Yeah.
Disciples are supposed to be close and tight. And even in 2018, people that are supposed to be close to you, people supposed to be in your inner circle, from time to time, they'll get off the chain. And you know, that's not including the folks you don't know. And,
right.
And it's important to understand that people are going to be people. No matter where you go, they're going to say and do what they want to do. And so it behooves us, Sheila G., that we need to look at this example. When Jesus was on his way to the cross, and he had to get serious in prayer. Sheila G.?
Amen, amen. Our mother used to use the expression that people will keep you on your knees. Actually, sometimes she would say children will keep you on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what she's referring to, that because we're in our flesh, that people will get on your last nerves and make you say or do something that you don't want to do. So therefore, you have to go on your knees. And she says, and if you wear out your knees, then you sit on your butt because you have to stay in prayer because people in the flesh, we cannot deal with people and the way they are because they will flip on you. And by praying, it refocuses you to let you know that, you know what, people may be ignorant, but they're not in control. It just reminds me, by going into prayer, it just reminds us that God is ultimately the one that's in control, so we can't be distracted. What we see or what we hear.
Amen. Dr. G, how important was it for we as disciples and just those folks that are saved in general, how important was it for Jesus to come in the flesh and show us how things can be done in ministry for the Lord, even while we're in the flesh? So how important was it that Jesus did this in the flesh for our ministry?
Well, it was very important because when you think about it, ever since the beginning with Adam and Eve, mankind has been going downhill. And as you and Sheila G. both have said, you know, we get caught up in our emotions and, you know, we'll get off track quick. We'll get sidetracked. And for Christ to come down and show us how to stay focused, how to stay grounded, even in the midst of what we're going through, it's very important because And, you know, as you've said, as you get older and you mature more, you learn how, instead of losing it, you pray.
Amen.
I mean, I had to learn that lesson, not, you know, with my kids, with folk in the church, because you can't, you know, when kids get up of a certain age, you can't make them do what you want
mm-hmm.
them to do. All you can do is pray for them,
mm-hmm.
and you got to let go. And then with folk in the church,
mm-hmm.
I don't care how much you preach Jesus and you teach and you try mm-hmm. to lead them, because they are in the flesh, they're going to periodically venture off into the left and to the right. I mean, the Bible says that, you know, we're like sheep. We go
yeah.
astray. And
mm-hmm.
for Christ to be the shepherd, he had to stay focused himself, especially with all that he was going through. He was part man and part God. And
mm-hmm.
if we can imagine what it would have been like if he had just said, you know, forget this, they're not worth
wow.
it.
Wow.
You know, mankind would have been lost forever.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. It just struck me that how important it was for our ministry going forward in our daily life to see his example,
right.
to see his humility, to see his willingness to put up with the crap of man's sinfulness, you know, just sinful nature. It just reeks. It just reeks. And later on in this passage, we'll see Jesus say, he says in a cup, and we studied a cup in seminary, and it's in that cup was the dregs, or the sinfulness of all mankind, and it was mingled with all of our sins, past, present, and future, and he was asked to drink of that cup, Sheila G. He
yeah.
was asked to drink of, and I always make it personal, you know, I don't try to put it on anybody else. He was made to drink of my mess, past, present, and future. You know, make it personal that,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what Jesus dealt with. This is what he paid for on the Christ. And the reason why I make it personal, because it's too easy to find fault with everybody else. But if
right.
we were to look at that man or that woman in the mirror and realize that
right.
Jesus died, he paid the price, and that there's no big sin and no little sin.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that he died, that he was separated from his Father, he had to deal with that because of me. And
mm-hmm.
you know, don't look around the room and say it was you. No, it's a personal thing. That's why he becomes a personal Lord and Savior. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that whole looking ourselves in the mirror is so important, especially as we look at our society today and how things are happening and how morality has just gone out the window. And the bottom line is what you said is we're not looking at the mirror,
nope.
looking in the mirror, looking at ourselves and seeing what Jesus did for us. We're always pointing at, especially now that you see people in leadership, pointing
mm-hmm.
the finger at their fault, it's their fault, it's this person's fault, it's that person, and you can see it on a job. But if we would look in the mirror, then we could accept our faults as well as our positive things, and then we could know the goodness of Jesus, because he came and died for all that stuff, that junk that we have, and we can let it go and be better people. But more and more, when you look at our society, it's like we may as well not even have mirrors around.
Amen.
Amen. So with this backdrop, it says in Matthew 26, verse 36, it said, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.
Mm.
And in verse 37, he says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Their names, those two were James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And so, again, with this humanness, Dr. G, we might think we can live without each other, and sometimes we want to live without each other, but in his humanness, Jesus had the desire for fellowship and communion with his brethren to help him to get through a difficult situation. That's
right.
Why I say it's so important for us to look at that Hebrews 10, I believe it's 10:25, where it says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together," which is a custom of some, but as you see the day approaching, we need to understand that we can encourage each other while we are yet walking in this flesh. That's why it's so important for us to have corporate gatherings like Bible study, like Sunday school, like worship. And it's so important for us to realize the bedside Baptist is not cutting it. That's a trick of the enemy. That's a device of the enemy to get us to think that we don't need other Christians. As flawed as we may be, and as flawed as Jesus knew his disciples were, Dr. G, he still desired to have them, their companionship, their fellowship, while he went to pray in a time of difficulty for him. And so he brought with him the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and also Peter. So again, Dr. G, I ask you, what is it in his humanness that he shows us that we need each other, Dr. G?
Well, you know, when you put it like that, you think about, and again, he was all of this was teaching, and the fact that, you know, like you said, you know, he showed us that we do need one another. The Bible, all through the Bible, that it shows us from the beginning with Adam, he created Eve. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So the Lord knew that it was not good for an individual to be alone. And when we're alone, you know, our mind plays tricks with us. You know, I check out Facebook sometimes, and people who used to come to church, I see some of the comments that they put on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all negative. You can tell that these folk are lonely, they're depressed. A lot of them all think about all the dead family members that have gone on. And, you know, life is too short to spend it like that. But yet they don't get it that they need companionship. They need to be around people that will help lift your spirits up. Because at some points, because we are in our emotions, just everyday life will bring you down. And if you don't have someone there or someone around you that will lift your spirits, you know, you can stay in that depressed mode for a long time.
And, you know, along with that, he's teaching us two things. Because if you look at, and I just heard this recently in a sermon that expounded on these two scriptures. And if you look at the scripture in 35, all the disciples are going with him. In 36, he picks out certain few. And in the sermon that was expanded, he was saying how Jesus is showing us there's some people that will come along with you a certain point, but then when you got to get into the muckety muck, not all those people with you, and you can't be upset that they're not there, and you can't put your trust in everybody, but you have to pray and ask God, okay, this is the whole crew that's coming with me, but okay, that season is there, but for me, when I got to do serious battle, okay, then this is going to be my core.
Amen.
So it's two things that he's teaching there, that yes, assemble yourself, but then depending on which battle you're going into, you bring everybody in there.
Amen.
And that's extremely important for the ministry, especially as pastors, because you're not everybody's always going to go with you to the ultimate place.
That's
there's going to be people that will be there for a season, but then but you always have those that are in the trenches,
the faithful
few that are there, and God has placed them there to be there through the difficult times, the challenging times.
Amen. Amen. And
Pastor, see, I've found that, especially since, you know, in my pastorage, I find that I don't hang out with a whole bunch of people. There's a select few that, you know, like-minded, and as Sheila said, you know, you can't share everything because everybody is thinking in the same direction that you are. You know, I remember years ago when I used to go down to Hampton with my former pastor. You know, I'd get down there with all those preachers, and everybody, and there was a special tree called the Liar's Tree. And all those times, get up underneath there. And everybody was trying to outdo the other with what folk did for them for, you know, for anniversary. And that junk blew my mind. And I'm sitting there saying that if this is all that it involved with ministry, then, you know, I don't know if I really want to be a part of that. So you have to be selective in who hang out with. Like Sheila beside me, if I go into battle, I want to know that the few that are with me are fight the full fight.
Right.
Because
right.
everybody talks about, oh, Pastor, we with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, okay.
It is so, so true. You got to have an inner circle of people you can talk to. You just can't talk to everybody. You just can't, because everybody doesn't understand.
Right.
And some of the stuff that you would talk about would they wouldn't understand, and you know, they might get upset, or they might, you know, think you're crazy. Some of the things that I tell people, and I share with them about the miracles that happened in my life and in the life of my family. Sometimes you can't even share some of those things because people think you're lying.
about what
you seen and experienced with God. And so you can, you know, share so much. And so it's important to understand that you need a corporate prayer, and you also need your prayer partners, you know.
Right.
And then go ahead, Sheila.
I said, yeah, that's what these two scriptures are illustrating, the corporate and then the closer inner circle.
And you need your prayer partner. You need people that you can go to, whether you feel good, whether you feel bad, and they're not in a position of judgment. They understand that today you're up and tomorrow they're going to be up. Today you're down and tomorrow they can be down. And so they understand the ebb and flow of our human existence to the point where they don't get caught up in the drama. And if you do get a little sidetracked, you know, they're there to help you get through it. And, you know, it's so important in those relationships. And a lot of times I relate that back to a rooted and grounded in Christ husband and wife relationship is that you have to understand that your mate's going to have some ups, you're going to have some downs, sometimes they're going to be sideways, sometimes you're going to be frustrated, sometimes you're going to be daggone straight mad with them for good reason.
Right.
But you have to understand, you know, they're in the flesh, and that they are a man or a woman that loves the Lord, and that eventually, with the help and with prayer, they'll be able to get through that thing and get back on track. And that's the heart of a leader. That's the heart of a leader in a relationship with husband and wife, leader in a relationship with church, leadership in relationships with just lay people, is to understand that we are in this flesh and we're going to be challenged. But the thing is not to jump on people while they're down, but to pray for them, to encourage them, to have understanding, compassion in spite of their shortcomings. And that's what makes a difference in being successful in marriage and relationships and in our relationship with man and with God, is to understand that their challenge is coming, but if we follow the example of Christ, we can make it through and not only survive but thrive in carrying out the will of the Father. And this is what Jesus was doing. He was carrying out the prophecy of his Father, the prophecy that had come down through generations, and he was carrying it out so that the prophecy would be fulfilled. And so that has to be our focus. Our focus is that God would be pleased, and that whatever his will was for us or is for us, that will be done. And when we have that understanding and that focus, we can get through the challenges and still glorify God.
Amen. That's exactly the principle, and that's what he's teaching us. And that's why we say if we follow and understand his word, not just be hearers but doers as well, He's laid everything out there for us how to get through and how to deal with these type of things. It's just a matter of us getting into his word and understanding how to apply it in our lives.
Amen. So when we look at Matthew 26, verse 38, so then said he unto them, and he's talking to his inner circle, he's saying, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. And again, you get to a point where you just have to call your prayer partner up, or to the one that's understanding or spiritually mature, and say, look, I'm in a bad situation right now.
Right.
and you have to be real. And I think sometimes, Dr. G, you can help me out. Pastors think they have to carry this mantle of that we're superhuman, and that we don't have moments in the flesh where we just not feeling it. You know, I tell people all the time at Heart of God, you catch me on the right day. If you catch me when I'm sick, I'm tired, and I'm not feeling good, you likely get your head snapped off. And I'll tell them straight up. I'll tell them straight up because I'm in the flesh.
Yeah.
And this is the time where you need to pray for me, not judge me, but pray for me and help me to get through this moment. But I've had people judge me and you know, do all kind of crazy stuff because I was human at the time. And the help and the assistance that I needed, they weren't able to help. But God will bring you in a place with him and his Holy Spirit and someone that will speak a word to your situation just when you're ready to say, screw it, I'm tired of it, y'all can keep it, and he'll send a word in due time that will minister to you and that will provide you what you need to be able to get back on track. But we're not. You know, I don't know who in this world that's in the flesh is immune to having a difficult situation or having a moment, and especially pastors. Pastors are in the flesh also. Dr. G, can you help me out with that?
Yeah, been there and done it. I mean, you're right. People, you know, they put us up on pedestals, and then in our minds, we think that we have to portray that we're superhuman. No, I hurt. That there are times, and I mean, not that I intended, but I might cry while I'm preaching or something may come out, and that's uncontrollable. And it lets folk know that, as you've said, you know, I'm human. You know, my kids have broken my heart. Church folk have broken my heart. And no, there are times that I did not feel like preaching, don't feel like going to church, just had it. And it's at those moments that the Lord will send someone to minister to our needs. Because you're right, we get like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're not immune to all that the enemy is attacking. And the devil knows how much we can bear. And a lot that, too, comes along with maturity, because he'll send someone that has enough maturity just to whisper the right words to us to pull us right out of that funk.
Amen.
Because people don't think we hurt.
Amen.
And Sheila G., you know, there's a thing called depression.
Yeah.
And there's a thing that people, when they're depressed, they want to end it all and commit suicide. And I'm not saying that Jesus was suicidal here, but if you look at this statement in the second part of it, he says, then said he unto them, this is Matthew 26:38, but this is just how bad he was facing the sins of the world. He said, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. So he felt like dying.
Right.
I'm going to pause on that right there.
Yeah.
He felt like dying. And in other words, it was like there was a hopeless situation. And I'm reading the NIV. And the NIV says, Matthew 26:38, it says, then he said unto him, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he's agonizing. He's overwhelmed. And when people are agonizing, overwhelmed, when they're depressed, when they want to commit suicide, that is a human issue that I think too many times gets sugarcoated over to the point where people don't address it to say this is real and it needs to be addressed. And we need to stay on the watch because we all know people who are in these situations right now that are depressed, that have fallen to the trap of the enemy where the enemy will separate, will divide and conquer. And that's why preachers are always preaching, you need to come to prayer service, you need to come to Bible study, you need to come to Sunday school, you need this fellowship of the body of Christ. Because if the enemy can separate and divide, he'll get you into this position. And so he's trying to get Jesus into this position by allowing his inner circle, amen, to not be responsive to his human physical need. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And you know, it's so important that you say that because so often you'll hear people say that Christians don't get depressed. And that's not true. And again, just as you've been saying all evening, God is, again, illustrating how you handle this. Because, like you said, he says his soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And then he says, tarry ye here and watch with me. So, again, he's that when you feel that way, that's when you need to get a hold of your prayer partners. That's when you need warriors around. That's when you need to circle yourself around people that will build you up. He's saying you're going to feel that way. And because I felt that way, he's given us that example, but he's saying that's when you reach out. That's when you need to have that support. And as you were reading that, I was thinking about that song that you wrote for about Dad missing you. And he was one of those people that when you were like at that point, he was one of the people that when you talk to him, you're like, okay, all right, now it's not as rough as it was. Okay, now I've got a different perspective. And the same thing with Ma. I remember when I was like a teenager and being the only girl, and, you know, sometimes I would feel really, really bad. But then she would pull me up and give me that perspective. And I think we do the same thing for our kids now. But again, Jesus providing that illustration of you gonna feel like this.
God damn right.
And when you feel like this, this is what you need to do. You need to not hold it in.
That's
you
right.
need not to bottle it in. Amen. You need to reach out to your prayer partners. Now, as you read further, sometimes they aren't always responsive.
Nope.
But
it's so key, Dr. G. Even like when she picked up, Sheila G. picked up on that last part. He says, "Watch with me." In other words, I need you. I need you. That's what I love about our two churches fellowshipping together is that we need each other. It's like it's like this is something that God has shown us that some days I'm not up and you guys are up, and sometimes you guys are down and I'm up, but you know, with the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the two churches, we have been able to continue on, but sometimes in ministry, if you don't have another pastor or another mentor or another person in ministry to help, you can go into this depression, and you can stay there for a long time, Dr. G.
No, you're right, and that is exactly correct, because ministry in itself is rough. And as we've been talking about all evening, when you're dealing with people and then you've got to fight the forces of evil, and then the devil gets in the individuals, but yet you're still expected to be there on Sundays to preach the word, teach, lead folk. And when you look at those scriptures where he said, watch and pray, and then there are times when folk don't even have to say a word, but just to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
To know if I need to lean on you, you're there.
Amen.
Yeah.
And don't realize that sometimes, and especially as pastors. You know, we're not gods. I'm not like Zeus and some of the other gods that they have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
often I need somebody there.
Amen.
Because we can get pulled down.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that everything that Jesus was doing, and you got to understand that he knew what he was getting ready to go through.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
was enough to bring anybody down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that I could have been doing what he was doing,
mm-hmm.
knowing
mm-hmm.
what was to come,
mm-hmm.
how people had already acted and how they were going to act, and still stay my course.
Amen.
Amen. That's why when the psalmist said, exalt the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together, because we need to understand that there's something about the corporateness of coming to God together. You know,
right.
Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. There's theme all the way through the word of the masses getting on one accord. And
mm-hmm.
even when we go to study the Holy Spirit, he told them to go and be in one place and one time on one accord. And
right.
when they were in one place on one accord, that's when the Holy Spirit came and the church was birthed. But there's
mm-hmm.
something to us collectively that is stronger than being individually. It's like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, separate parts of the Godhead, but still one. It's like three in one. And so when we understand that working together with each of us bringing what God has gifted us with, that we become a stronger force. And so when he says in that verse, you know, watch with me, it's so important that we watch with each other
right.
that we can carry out the will of the Lord. Sheila, Jay, I'll let you come with that, then we go to the phone line.
Amen. Yeah, and I don't think people understand that, especially now with the day of electronics and everything. We have more and more what you call bedside Baptists, because they truly think they can worship and come together with an ornate object, like a computer or the TV.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing
mm-hmm.
like in that circle, in that interaction with other saints. Because if you really want to draw close to the Lord, if you really want what he has to offer, you're going to make a way to be there. But it's not just that. It's like if you just get yourself there to get that corporate, to get that prayer partner, to be in the
mm-hmm.
midst of the Holy Spirit, that just makes us more stronger and more able to fight the enemy. But too often, everybody wants to be isolated and you know, do their own thing. You know, I ride the metro to work, and I look at how
mm-hmm.
many people are obsessed with their phones,
mm-hmm.
whereas
yes.
back in the day, if you were on a bus together, or you'd be high,
yeah.
how you chit-chat,
yeah.
stand at the bus stop, but now people don't talk. And that is a trick of the enemy as well, because you don't have people interacting. So that's how he, like, segregates, and that's where that depression comes in. Then people
mm-hmm.
don't know how to reach out to a prayer partner or to express themselves to someone else, and that's where the enemy wins. It's important for us to lift each other and have that corporate worship and that corporate prayer.
Amen. Amen. I tell people all the time that social media has made us less sociable.
Yeah.
has the opposite effect of what it should be.
Right.
All right. We're gonna go to the phone lines. I know we got some folks who want to jump in here. But we're just going to ask the question, how important is fellowship? How important is it to fellowship with each other? All right, we can go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. It's Brother Brandon Stewart. Hope everybody's doing well.
Good evening.
Doing well.
To me, fellowship is very important because you need that contact. The way God had intended it was, is that, you know, it wasn't for us to be alone as we go through this journey, that we depend on our brothers, our sisters, we depend on folks in the church, the pastors, the ministerial staff, our family members, everybody to kind of help us get through this journey. And this journey definitely was not intended for us to go through alone. Fellowship is part of the process. It's how you learn. It's how you grow. Most importantly, it's also how you learn to deal with folks, because you have a lot of diverse people who have a common goal. But guess what? We've got to kind of put our diversity aside and basically all be on the same accord to understand that it's not about my agenda, your agenda, the fastest way to get there, the prettiest way to get there. It's just about getting there. And sometimes it's not going to be pretty. And as you stated, some days I may not be operating at 100%, but the only way you're going to get through it through fellowship is through dialogue, is through, you know, testimonies, is through singing, it's through coming to church. All of that engulfs the phrase and the terminology fellowship. And not only fellowshipping with your church members, but also fellowshipping with other individuals who may not be members of your church, who may be other churches around the corner in the same area. It's all part of the process. And most importantly, also fellowshipping and performing outreach with those individuals who may not be as close to the Lord as we are, doing community outreach, going out and doing clove drives and doing all kinds of things. That's all fellowshipping, because that's the only way that you're going to go bring people closer to God. Because you can't just say, oh, have a sign, hey, pick up the Bible, read it, you know, find your own way to get to Christ and to get into heaven. You have to get through that through fellowship. You talk about God. People who are non-believers and are more of the mindset that, hey, you can show me better than you can show me in a book or me have something read. That's all done through fellowship. So for those naysayers who say, well, if I can't see it, touch it, hold it, I don't believe in it, then that's where we come in. And through fellowship, they can see God in us, the way we talk, the way we interact, the way we handle praise, but also the way that we handle adversity, the way that we handle difficult, dealing with difficult people in all the many aspects of our life. But that is all done through fellowship. And if you ask me, in my opinion, it's impossible. I mean, think about how effective a church would be in any aspect of what churches deal with if you didn't fellowship. You have no members. You wouldn't be productive. You wouldn't, you'd have no Sunday school, no prayer service, no Bible study. It wouldn't be, you wouldn't have a prayer service. You wouldn't have a Bible study. You wouldn't know what your members are going through. You wouldn't know what your pastor's going through. We would never be a part of any other church's anniversaries or their programs, because there is no fellowship to say, hey, look, how can we unite with some other church to continue the word of God and maybe pull together on certain occasions to actually do things? To me, fellowship is a part of the process, and it's one of the main pillars within the Christian community, that if you don't fellowship, things become stagnant. And guess what? Then you get die-off as the generations get older and older. Guess what? If you take the fellowship out, then the next generation that comes in behind you, guess what? They're going to get smaller. And then eventually, guess what's going to happen? The doors of the church are going to eventually close, and then you're going to have more churches now in future closing that there are now, because a lot of churches within the last few years, I know you guys have seen it, they're closing their doors. And if you're not fellowshipping, bringing new people in there to continue on the legacy of those people who started before them, churches are going to die off. People are going to stop coming. People are going to stop believing in God. And as Sister Gregory said, everybody's so glued to their phone and people aren't sociable anymore and talking. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had one of my friends, this is honest to God's story. He said, man, I wrote down on a piece of paper the other day and my handwriting's atrocious. And I said, well, why? He said, because I'm always texting. And he said, and I don't even really, or typing, I don't even really write on the paper no more, because he's just kind of lost that human element. Remember, we writing cursive back in the day and all this stuff. But now the forms of communication are email, texting. You can press the microphone and talk, and it types it out for you.
Yeah.
It was a level of concern to say, man, what has society gone to? And pretty much, you don't have kids outside playing. That's part of fellowship. Everything we do as far as that human contact is fellowship. And eventually we're going to all be in silos, and you're going to just have a bunch of people walking past each other and not taking time to talk, to check on their fellow brother, to check on their fellow sister, to check on their fellow man, to say, hey, how are you going? Let me tell you about the goodness of Jesus. And we're starting as Christians to fall in that trap. And that's all that Satan wants, is to get to the point where we become silenced, where we all of a sudden stop going out and doing those things as far as fellowship and outreach. And if that happens, then the devil wins. So we have to get back to what got us here. I've always been of the mindset that if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. Get back to how things were done back when you guys were coming up as kids, as far as going out into the community and doing all these different things. The old school way worked, and it's what got us through, so it will continue to get us through. But I definitely believe that fellowship is very key, because it's the only way that you're going to get sustainability in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Good word. We go to the next caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Fellowship is very crucial. We need it. It holds, it's the glue that holds the church together, hold families together, just hold our community together when we can come together. And even if we don't always agree when we come together, but if we can come together in reason, and when we come together in fellowship, and we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come in the midst, there are times when just looking at a person, just being there, that person seeing your face, just a smile, just touching and holding. Jesus of fellowship. He fellowshiped with the sinners and the publicans. And, you know, he was a touchy person. He touched people, you know. And so when we get into the fellowship and we genuine concern about people, people feel it. You know, I can feel love. I can feel your closeness. I can feel you caring about me. You begin to trust people. You begin to believe in people. And people begin to believe in you. And the thing is, we realize that the more we fellowship, that I got some faults and you got some faults. And
that's right.
This person over here got something wrong with them.
That's
but
right.
we have one thing in common. We have the Holy Spirit. And that's the glue that holds us together.
Amen.
That even when we have our differences, you know, we still can come together. We still can fellowship together. We might not agree, but we still can have that love for one another, that closeness, that caring for one another. And we should take that attitude that no man is an island. I can't live by myself. I need other Christians. I'm not going to tell people I can live by myself. I can't live by myself because when I do, the enemy start talking to me. He tells me all kind of negative things, and negative things about myself, negative things about other people, and you find yourself finding fault with everybody and everything. You become self-righteous.
Amen.
You become full of pride. You feel like nobody's good enough, everybody's wrong, and you think you're always right, you know. And so when you submit yourself unto God, God is love. And the word tells us, how can we say, you know, that we are born of God, and, you know, if we're not showing that love, if we don't have love for one another, then something is wrong there. But as our fellowship strengthens for one another, our love for one another.
And
I believe that. I truly believe that. It happens in our homes. It happens in our families. And we just need fellowship. We need that unity there. We need that strength there. Because I can draw off you and get some strength. And I need it. I need it. You know,
amen.
I'm not going to sit here and try to play superhero. I'm not going to play superhero because I'm not superhero. There are days where, you know, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to be bothered. But I know that there are people that will call me, or either I will hear something that is said that will encourage me. And then I hope on the same token I can encourage somebody else. The Lord will use me to encourage somebody else. But yes, as we grow together spiritually, we should want to grow together as a church family.
Amen.
Especially if we plan on going to heaven.
Come on now.
God thank you all, and God bless you all. Just thank you for everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to the next caller, 7971. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I have enjoyed hearing all the comments tonight, and they are so true, so very true. And in fellowship and in church or in your life all together, love is the key. Because love brings out the best of you, and you share your love with someone else to bring out the best in them, because we all hurt. And if you reflect back on your own life when you've been down in those valleys and things have been going wrong, And when God comes to your rescue, or he sends a word, or he sends a person, or he sends someone your way to soothe you when you need it the most, you always say to yourself, I know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can fellowship and take that same thing and give it back to somebody else,
right.
You can, even to a child, you can
mm-hmm.
see the joy that comes out of that. And that's
Amen.
What God wants us to do. We have to fellowship. We have to know his. We have to know how to move in and do his will in your life to help somebody else. And
Amen.
Church
mm-hmm.
is so vital, because so many things are thrown at you. Something happened to me last week, hurt me to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pray on it because it pertained to my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt me to know that something, he was sick. And I usually communicate with him, but at the time I was in bad shape too. But
mm-hmm.
someone
mm-hmm.
in the position that could have let me know that he was didn't. And it just tore me apart. Although I was sick, that was not me. I felt that he needed
Amen.
A kind word from God.
Amen.
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 A prayer, a touch. And, I mean, he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the same house,
mm-hmm.
in God's house.
Amen.
It doesn't work like that.
Amen.
It doesn't work like that. You can hold back and be selfish in your thinking, and I call it stinking thinking. Get for real. Get
Amen.
For real.
Amen.
But he, out of me, I just said, let me call.
Mm-hmm.
Let me call. Why mm-hmm. not me? And it's a beautiful thing to have the love of God in your heart, to fellowship
Amen.
To people you don't even know. Man stopped me in Walmart today with
mm-hmm.
insurance. I said, I need nothing, want nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me. I said, I'm for real. I said, I'm for real. I said, I am so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I said, I'm a country girl that came from a godly family.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Prepared me to look the way I look,
mm-hmm.
to talk the way I look, talk, and share God's word.
Amen.
Now, if you got something that you want to share in that department, we can talk. Otherwise, I got to rock and roll. You have to know when to hold them and when to fold them, because
Amen.
Don't waste my time, I won't waste yours. He's trying to make a sale.
Uh-huh.
I got
mm-hmm.
enough insurance for everybody.
Amen.
And in this world today, that's what you have to have.
Amen.
Because you don't know when the monster's going to come after you. But I'm
yes,
saying,
sir.
Being able to fellowship, communicate, and live a good Christian life.
That's right.
Only God can give that to you. And you get that through what we're doing right now.
Amen.
Sharing, preparing us to be on the battlefield for the Lord 24/7. It doesn't stop at one little incident.
Amen.
It's an ongoing affair with everyone that you come in contact with. And you have to have the love of God in your heart to be able to deal with it, or you're going to a deep depression.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you have to be, when you're fellowshipping with other people, the same old will come by you, and when they come by me, I tell them, I don't want to hear it.
That's right.
Same song, same dance. Go get it right. And then you won't have to complain.
Amen.
You don't have to complain. It's ways of fellowshipping that doesn't have to be on a deathbed or, you know, so many things we fellowship about in our Christian walk that can uplift the soul and keep them on the right track, even to the
mm-hmm.
little children, even to the teenagers, trying to get these children to think, to get an education, is the hardest thing in the world to do.
Mm.
And we talk about it all the time in church with the kids, everything. But that's fellowshipping too. You can't leave anything out. You can't leave anything out because what we might think is not important, but to a child that can't get an essay, can't do an essay, their penmanship, their writing skills are not well. And when you can talk to that child and show them the easy way to do it and things like that, it comes as a package. People. And people are not the same. All are not the same. The children are not the same. And we all in that thing together tonight. Here, this one Bible said, I had to get up. Go to my little nephew. He was crying to the top of his voice. Soothe him and take him to his grandma. That's fellowshipping.
Amen.
I had to get back to my Bible study. But I didn't get mad because God was watching over us and watching over that baby so that I could comfort him.
Amen.
And grandma could get to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sweet. Life is so sweet. It's how you make it.
Amen.
It's how you can make it a good thing, a bad thing, if you think crazy, if you don't think godly. When you leave God out, you lost the battle. You can't do anything without him. And it's so good to fellowship every Thursday night to get the good news, to pass it on to somebody else. I thank you all tonight.
Bless
you. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we got one more caller we're going to go to. Last four digits, 9772. 9772, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Always been a hard thing for me to do because early coming up, I kept my mouth quiet, and then I always learned to keep my mouth closed, and I think upon things. And I was just listening to some of the things you said to about being the devil and how he attacked you, especially when he spouted you with your spouse and whatnot. And I learned to keep my mouth and carry my burden on my shoulders. But as I get older, I loosen up and get just to hold on and listen to some of the things, and I try to talk to somebody. But sometimes it doesn't work that way, and everybody thinks that everything that shines is also gold. But no, all is not gold. Some is kind of hard, and you have to carry it on your shoulder, and you walk with it. And if you just go and get your Bible and sit down and just meditate with it, and that's how I'm learning to fellowship with God. And that's how I get along with it every day, because if you're married to one of them three sisters, Zach, you're in trouble.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. Dr. G, Sheila G, it's a good subject tonight. Dr. G, like your final comments and close out in prayer, please, sir.
Well, I think I would just go from the word of the Bible. Teaches us, and it says where two or three are gathered together, being in touch with any one thing, there I would be in the midst of it. And we do give God the praise, and we thank him for that, because he knew as humans what we stand in need of. And it's not always the big crowd that we need.
Amen.
Sometimes it's just that simple few that we need in order to encourage us on. So with that, we're going to go ahead and pray out. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what your son endured to help us. Father, we pray right now that we might become better servants and preachers and officers and everything else that we can in order to help other people. Father, we ask now that you would continue to put your loving arms around us. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for it reaching out, taking control and just showing us things that we need to hear. Father, we pray that others would become hungry for this word. Oh God, whatever your will is now for the rest of the week, we pray that you will lead, guide, and direct our paths. And Father, if it's your will that we come together on Sunday again, I pray that your will will shall be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.